Welcome back to You Need to Know here on WOIC Progressive Talk, 1230 AM. I appreciate you appreciate you listening this afternoon. It's 3:26. I'm Frank Knapp. And this segment, I have a very interesting person on the line with me right now. I have Mr. Jonathan Granoff. And Jonathan, I hope I pronounced that correct, did I?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Hi, Frank.
How are you? Thank you for calling in. You're the president of the Global Security Institute. Want to tell us a little bit about what that is?
Well, sure. It's a nonprofit organization founded by Senator Alan Cranston and Mikhail Gorbachev and Jane Goodall and people like that. Focused on promoting the rule of law and eliminating the threats posed by nuclear weapons by working toward a world without nuclear weapons.
Okay. Well, gee, it sounds so simple.
It's not simple, but if you don't have a compass point with clear values, then you're going to be trying to follow a rabbit across a field.
Well, now, and Jonathan, you just had an interesting experience. You were contacted by the Iranian National Radio, sort of like our NPR.
Yeah, they called me up. They've done it twice, and they got my cell number from my office. They wanted to reach me, you know. And one time they called me. I was down in I was in Atlanta at the American Bar Association's convention where I'm one of the members of the American Bar Association's International Law Sections Council. So I was in a Marriott hotel in Atlanta, stepping out of the shower, and this guy gets on and says, "Hello, Mr. Granoff. This is National Radio from Iran. Would you like to do an interview?" I was literally naked stepping out of the shower, and I'm going, God, the world in the 21st century
really isn't
just beyond unimaginable.
The idea that
we're so connected in so many ways, and yet in so many ways we don't understand each other, and well, the opportunities of a new world are just at our fingertips.
Well, we have a lot of obviously commonality of governments should have some things in common. In fact, what you spoke to the Iranian National Radio, and so your voice and message was heard all over Iran, was about the integrity of government.
Well, I mean, I spoke about a lot of things, but the one that I think is kind of interesting was I extolled the virtues of the American system of checks and balances. I won the 1990 New York International Film and Video Festival Silver Medal Award for the second best documentary in the world, and it was on the creation of the Constitution. And my documentary's main thesis is that we're the first country created based on the rule of law.
How about that?
And that we're the first country created by a legal instrument, not based on a sort of abstract homeland identity or a religious identity or a racial identity, but we are the first country premised that everybody in the country is subject to the same rule of law. This is a really unique and original and, I believe, divinely inspired insight in how to run government. And the people that created our government were really aware of the flawed, just the flawed nature of men, because it was men then, women couldn't vote. And I don't think women are all that much better in this regard, frankly, but it is that the temptation of the quest for power and the arrogance of thinking you're always right has to be tempered, has to be modified, has to be balanced by debate, checks and balances, we call it, and accountability. And I said, the reason that America has become such a great place is that nobody ever gets their own way completely, and everybody gets a little bit. And the checks and balances of the legislative branch checking the executive branch and the judicial branch checking both and the local government checking the state government checking the federal government, and the federal government checking the state governments, and everybody looking over everybody's shoulder and poking into everybody else's business and holding them to account has meant that nobody really has had the synthesis of power, and we've never had one voice at the microphone. And as long as we're able to have that kind of open and honest debate, we make good decisions.
How do you think the average Iranian listening out there on their national radio, what do you think they thought about that?
Well, I didn't finish what I said, so you'll.
Nope. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
One of the things is, unlike our radio, they're a much more patient culture.
No, see, I'm impatient. I want to move right to the bottom line.
Yeah, the bottom line is you got to get time for your advertisers, and people have attention spans that have been. See, I don't think Americans are that stupid, and I just don't. I think people actually appreciate honest, clear, and sometimes complex ideas, and they don't like to be talked down to, and the media all too often talks down to people. And I looked at your show on the internet here, and you actually seek out people with serious ideas, and I want to commend you on that.
Well, thank you very much.
So I said that when America has had decisions made not based on true and honest debate, such as the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, mm-hmm. which got us into Vietnam, that was a straight up and down, unequivocal, total, full out lie, and the lies that were told to the American people to get us into the quagmire of Iraq. That whenever the contract of honesty between the governed and the governing is broken, then we end up in disasters. And the only way of checking that is by accountability. And the same problem occurs in any country, and it gets even worse. It's even worse when the people who claim power do it in the name of God and say, if you argue with me, you're arguing against God. Then the whole capacity to hold power in check is endangered. And they didn't cut me off!
Well, that's good. I expect they could understand what you were saying. They called you.
Oh, they knew what they were going to get, and they understood it clearly.
Interesting. John, I'm talking with Jonathan Granoff. He is the president of the Global Securities Institute. Jonathan, where are you right now, by the way?
I'm in Philadelphia.
All right, and you do have your clothes on. Okay, I just want to make sure. Well, I appreciate it. No, I don't have mine on, but that's all right.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful message. Now, they didn't have any way. Did they try to ask you some questions?
Yes, of course they did. They asked me some loaded questions about why should the United States not. Why doesn't the United States complain about Israel having nuclear weapons mm-hmm. and having nuclear weapons pointed at people in the region where the United States complains about Iran? When the head of the government has said it's against their religion to have nuclear weapons. So why are we complaining about their having nuclear energy when they don't even have nuclear weapons, and we say nothing about Israel's nuclear weapons?
They asked
me that one.
Did you feel obligated to defend our position?
I didn't feel obligated to defend our position. I just stated what the international law is, and mm-hmm. which is that Iran is a member of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, as is the United States. And under that treaty, Iran is prohibited from having nuclear weapons, and Iran is obligated to have any nuclear program subject to international inspections, and that they have not fully complied with cooperating historically with the inspection regime, and therefore their conduct is under scrutiny. Israel, on the other hand, never joined the nuclear non-proliferation regime, and that, I think, is the distinction. Having said that, I said I think that that it is totally immoral and a bad policy to expect the world to have a system where a handful of states can claim a right to have nuclear weapons and tell others that they can't have them. I don't think that's sustainable in the long term. And therefore, I think that Israel, like all other nuclear weapon states, has to make plans to get rid of them. And then I said, but how on earth can you expect Israel to get rid of their weapons when the Jewish people have a history of 4,000 years of oppression? There's only 14 million Jews in the whole world. They're surrounded by governments that don't fully recognize their right to exist, and you have a president in Iran who's making bellicose statements about wiping them from the face of the earth.
And they still didn't cut you off.
They didn't cut me off.
Well, very good. Jonathan, let me ask you this question. Your suggestion that the reason the United States is powerful and is doing so well is because it was founded under law and has all these checks and balances. Do you believe a country that wasn't founded that way can evolve to that?
Well, I don't think that everybody has to follow the same course. I think that principles of justice and accountability can be achieved in other manners. I think our system works. I think it works well for us. And I wouldn't just say that everybody has to evolve to be like us. So it's kind of like the question presupposes some values that I don't accept.
Okay.
Do I think that Iran could become a much healthier member of the international community? I think that could be achieved overnight if the United States reached out with a new policy that recognized their right to exist, that isolated the mullahocracy and spoke to the youth of the country, that if we started having real exchanges, cultural exchanges with them, time is on our side and culture is on our side. Moreover, the kind of Islam that's historical within that country is a lot more Western oriented than, say, what you find in Saudi Arabia. So now, they do not like the political incursions that they've suffered at the hands of the European powers in the 20th century. I mean, what the British did there was not all that beneficial to the people of that region. What the French have done was not all that beneficial. What the Turks did was not all that beneficial. What the Russians did, the Russians have invaded there. I mean, there's a history of that country being invaded from the Mongols. My God, the Genghis Khan and all of those guys came in there and destroyed the place. So they have a history of outside countries coming in and committing atrocious acts on their population. They're very confused. We were promoting nuclear energy there in the 60s when the Shah was there.
Right.
We overthrew the first really elected government they had there with Mossadegh when he was elected. The CIA overthrew him. On the one hand, we say that we abhor the spread of nuclear weapons, and yet we are benefiting. The Bush administration wants to benefit India with nuclear energy plants, and nuclear weapons have now become the policy of India. And we don't want to give Iran the benefits of nuclear technology while they publicly renounce nuclear weapons.
Jonathan, in 60 seconds, I know so much time. Do you have any concern with the current state of events here in the United States regarding our checks and balances with the Bush administration evoking executive privilege?
Yeah, absolutely. The paradigm, the way we should look at it is that the people listening to the radio show, we have privacy. The government should be naked and transparent to us. And the idea that the president is flaunting the Congress and our right to know what they do, their duty to be accountable to every one of us listening to this radio show, that's very dangerous.
All right. Jonathan Granoff, thank you very much. I appreciate you calling in. President of the Global Securities Institute, I hope you get continuous calls from Iran.
I'll talk to the people of North Carolina anytime.
We're in South Carolina. Don't put us in North Carolina.
South Carolina. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Jonathan, thanks so much for calling in, okay?
Thanks,
Hope
Frank.
You have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank
Bye.
You. All right. Yes, we are in South Carolina.